This is an interview with Christina Kokotis on Tuesday, 9th of April 2013, at her home in Kurauta Park. The interviewer is Helen Haltis, and the interview is being conducted as part of the Greek Migrant Experience Oral Histories Project, an OIGA initiative. It is funded by the Australian Government's Your Community Heritage Program, Sharing Community Heritage Stories. Welcome, Christina, and thank you very much for agreeing to take part in this project. Could you tell me, for the record, your full name, please?
Christina Kokotis, that's my married name, yes.
And where were you born, Christina?
In Rizokaspaso, south of Cyprus.
And when were you born?
1925, 15th of January.
Lovely. And your parents, are they from the same village?
The same village, yeah.
And what did they do for a living?
Mum was the only girl.
She was the only girl?
Yes.
Oh, special.
Yeah.
What did your parents do for a living in Cyprus?
Just working on the land, grow their own, food for the family. That's about all. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any other jobs to do. Or I had an uncle and he used to go and burn coal, karvuno, on the hills.
Oh, wonderful.
On our hills and our town, mm-hmm. and sell them.
So they made a little bit of money out of that. And also, did they grow anything else that they could sell?
Not really. They had their own chickens for their own use.
Goats.
Quote there and here. A pig, they grow their own pig to kill and make sausages, pork sausages, to survive.
Yeah. Mm. So it was a hard life for them.
I'm sure it was. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was.
Yeah. And how many children did they have?
Four girls.
Oh, lovely. Four girls. Yeah. So that would have been difficult for them in the initial
stages.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely.
And your father, did he think of leaving Cyprus and going to a better land, as it were?
Yes, he did. Mm. He just packed up and left my mother with the four and her mother. Her mother was living with her to look after the family, and he came to Australia.
So what year did your dad come to Australia?
I should say, no, Mum was pregnant of me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, when he left, she had to write to him that she's pregnant when he left. So it won't be any complications.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah.
Yes.
So when he arrived here, he straight away, she put it into his head that she was pregnant of me.
Yeah. Did he come to South...
1924, would it be?
Okay. So did he come to South Australia? Did your dad come to South Australia?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Straight to South Australia, and someone must have recommend smelters, HP, isn't it they call
BHP.
It?
BHP.
And there, all the foreign goes because the lead, that's what killed him.
That's difficult. So that was in Port Pirie?
Yes.
Yeah. So he went straight to Port Pirie and worked
straight
in the BHP smelters.
Yes. And he worked there for many years till we came to, after 12 years, we came to Australia. He still worked there.
So for 12 years he was here on his own?
Yes.
Goodness me. Did he write back to the family?
Yes. And he was sending money all the time. Mm. You know, whatever he gets, he sent it to us. And Mum used to buy a bit more land to survive and rent it out, lease it out, the land.
She was a businesswoman, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Did your dad come here with the intention of staying here for a little while, making a bit of money, and perhaps coming back? Or did he come here to live permanently?
That I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. But Dad wanted to bring Mum here when he came here after a little while. How long, I don't know. He sent her the papers or whatever. And her mother wouldn't let her. Where are you going to go without a language, a strange place? You don't know if you're going to find him. You don't know if he's got another woman there. Her grandmother was really tough and didn't let her come. Okay, so she didn't. By the time when I was 11, 12, Mum said then we start growing up, we had bad neighbours scaring us. After us, we grow up, four girls, you know. And we had a bad time. And Mum was scared. So she said, you're not stopping me this time. I've got the papers. I'm going to Varoshi, which is Farmacusta. That's where the Limani is.
The port, yes.
The port. Mm-hmm. And she had a cousin there, educated, and he helped her to get the papers ready to go on such a boat to come to Australia. So she packed a little bag with one dress or two or whatever, a couple of underwear or this and that, and off she went.
All by herself?
All by herself.
Did she know where she was going?
Well, she only had it in...
In a letter that your dad sent home? Or where did she find it?
Yeah, well, she had the papers from Dad.
Yes.
But she had the old ones, you know. So I think she came to Perth. She landed into Perth, and then she rang him from there, somehow or other. Mm. And as I say, she came, left us with my grandma. He said, I'm going. You're not stopping me now, Mum. I'm going, doesn't matter what.
This was after 11 years of being apart.
Yes. And Mum came and she got Dad anyway. He picked her up or whatever. And he found her with another, a black man was with another, involved with another a woman.
But oh, so when your Mum came, Dad had another lady living in the house.
Yeah. But she was a woman that she'll go with all the comers, you know, with all the men stay.
The witch?
Upaname tus andres.
Oh, she was a loose woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she loved my dad more than anybody else because he was nice looking.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So she lived with your dad, this other woman?
Yeah, but not when Mum came. No. But he used to take her, he said, she's going to teach you to talk English.
Oh, that was his excuse.
One time, two times, she wake up. She didn't know that. So he said, oh, yeah? All right. If she comes again, I'm going to step her.
And she probably would have, eh?
Oh, she would have. Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm. So anyway, she got rid of it. Even when we came, after a year, we chased her, me and my other sister, and we can see that he was going to her place in the next street. Yeah. But gradually, she got the message, I think, and she sort of didn't want him properly anymore, or he feel embarrassed through us and my brother-in-law. My sister married Eleni, Mary's mother. We married her up there. My mother got a chap just to put a man in the home.
So she was married, the oldest sister was married in Cyprus.
Yes.
Before your mother left.
Yes.
Yes, yes. So she came here by herself, knowing that the rest of you, the other three children, were looked after by the grandmother as well as a married daughter.
And the man, we had the man. Yeah. Although they lived together, live separately. But people knew that we had a man coming in and out.
So you were safe?
Yeah.
So your mum comes over here, and after how long of being here did she bring the rest of the family across?
One year.
So did they pay for the fares for all of you?
She borrowed the money. She went and borrowed the money. She got to know some Castellotti's here and made a friend with her. And she asked her if she knows anybody who lent her the money to bring my family. And she said, yes, I know a tailor. He's in the city, in Porphyry, that is. And we go and see him. And they went and seen him, and he said, yes, I'll give you the money.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. And then they gave her the money, and then Mum started work.
What work did she do in Porphyry?
Oh. You name it, she done it.
Really?
Like Emscore here.
Yes.
If you know what that is. Galata, you know, the milks and creams and They had that AMSCOL, like you used to call it.
So she worked in AMSCOL factory?
Yes, with the big boots up to here. Just on that iron, in the waters and in the dampness, milk, butters, all whatever the farmers union got say. And then she started making quilts. And then she went and leased a farm, tomatoes farm, with somebody else, partner. She had another three girls. And my oldest, the second sister, went and helped her a little bit, but she was coming home at night.
But when you girls came over, you were able to help Mum with all her jobs that she was doing?
Not really.
No?
No. No, we were staying home. Just the old one, the after Mary's mother, second one, she used to go and help up a tomato farm and peas. They were growing peas with this other partner.
Market gardeners.
Yeah. Mm.
Gee. And you were, what, 11, 12 years old when you came here?
12-year-old, yeah.
12-year-old.
Nearly 13.
Did you go to school?
6 months, but I couldn't speak a word English. So I wasn't interested to go further. It just got on my nerves. I mean, it was so hard for me. I was too old. So I left.
Mm. Back in Cyprus before you came here, did you go to school?
Yes.
In Cyprus?
Yeah.
Mm. And you didn't learn English there?
No. My eldest sister went and learned a little bit English, Mary's mother. Mm-hmm. She went to high school. Oh, when he went to grade 5 in Greek school.
Mm-hmm. And then when you came here, you went for 6 months and just got too hard.
Yes.
Did you girls go to Greek school here, or was there Greek school back in those days?
No. The other girls was almost finished the Greek school there. Mm-hmm. So I was the only one going to school then.
So what did you do for a living the rest of the whole... Mum had the farm. What were your duties up in Port Pirie?
Well, my sister, the third one, she went to learn dressmaking. I wanted to learn hairdresser and a dressmaking. But unfortunately, my husband chased me up and then that was all cut off.
So you got married very young?
Yes.
How old were you?
I was 14 when he started chasing me up. And he meet me all the time, and Mum didn't know nothing, Dad didn't know nothing.
Oh, dear.
I didn't know nothing about love or anything like that. we were seeing one another for a long time, 4 years, I think. I was 13, 17. Yeah.
And at 17?
21, I had the three boys.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So at 17, you finally married. And what work did your husband do?
He was just a labourer.
In the smelters?
No. Just his father had a farm. And then he used to go and help Mum a little bit. This is where I met him. And I used to go down to the farm. And he was picking peas for Mum, paying him to pick a peas. And that's where we met. And then he started chasing her. And he wouldn't take no for yes or yes for no or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his foot down. That Mum didn't want him, you see.
Yeah. Oh, Mum didn't want him?
Oh, no.
Why?
Somehow he'd done a rough family.
Oh, right.
His father had a bad name of, you should get that. Yeah. She didn't want to push her. He was from a poor family.
Okay. All right.
And she wanted, Mum thought her girls was the best in the world. She wanted the best for us.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
But anyway, she didn't want him. And he said to her, I'll put a bombs if you don't allow that. And my father, you know, he was a quiet man. He was a very kind man. And he didn't want trouble. So he talked to Mum into it, but Mum wouldn't have it. She wouldn't have it, but it just went on when Dad said... Okay.
That was it. It was the
that
end.
Was
you're
it.
Married. Yeah. How long did your family stay in Port Pirie?
We come 1938, say, 37, 38. We stay, my mum.
The whole family, you all stayed together in Port Pirie?
Well, my Mary's mother, Mrs. Hondra, that is, they couldn't get a work there, so he came to Adelaide.
So your elder sister and the husband, yeah, whom she'd married in Cyprus, yes, couldn't get a job, and they came to Adelaide.
He worked up the farms for a while, but it wasn't much at all.
Okay.
Just tomatoes, you know, Porphyry farms, and they don't grow much. Anyway, they come to Adelaide. Then someone did proxy for my second sister here, somebody in Lurup, which is up Renmark. He had a grape farm. So the proxy went ahead because there wasn't much boys, 15 years older. So my sister didn't want him, but she had to do what mum and dad says. Anyway, she married him. She went away to the Renmark and mm-hmm. River Murray up there. He had a farm and a house there and all that. And then they had a baby. That's Lula's doctor's wife, if you know her.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually I married before my second, my third sister. And we come to Adelaide because he couldn't get a job up there, only the farm, so it wasn't much at all. So we come to Adelaide, and then another proxy for my third sister, and she come to, he was from Adelaide. So she come to Adelaide as well. Then mum stayed there for a little while, and then she persuaded dad to get out of there because he'll die in there, because his lungs are full of lead. But the doctors wouldn't say anything about that because they wasn't allowed to, because they want the, well, they've got to pay them out if they say, that's what he died of.
Compensation, yes.
Compensation, yes. Mm-hmm. Compensation. He couldn't breathe. That's how he died.
He died
in his sleep. And mum filled his legs to know that he was dead in the same bed.
Okay, so the girls are all married. And then mum and dad, or mum convinced dad, that the best thing to do was to leave the Smelters and come to Adelaide.
Yes, and she started a business here.
What did she start?
Oh, she had a deli. She had the Coochie fish shop. She bought that in the property. She had glass houses, a Findon.
Now, we're talking about the war years here, aren't we? Because if you came down, what, about 1939?
43.
We come to 43, did we?
Yeah.
Okay. In Adelaide, you come to in 43. Yeah. Still, it was pretty hard here in Australia as well, wasn't it?
Very much so.
Very much so. Yeah. But she was strong enough and determined to have a good living,
yeah,
and so she went into business.
And give something to the kids that, yes, she couldn't do it before because the land stopped over there. Mm. You couldn't sell it straight away. Dad went 1960 or 64 and sold our land, what they bought and what they had when they were single, and my father sold the land and bought the money here.
Mm-hmm. So what sort of business was your mother involved in?
Delicatessens, fish and chip shops, clubs, the club of...
Café Neo.
Café Neo and restaurant. He was entertained. She was entertained all the new ones coming in. Bed, meals, club.
She was into everything, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What about Dad?
Dad, he was just serving in, a coffee or helping whichever he could. But he wasn't a businessman. Mum was all the business.
Mum was a businessman. Yeah. When they had the cafeteria, you said they had beds.
Yeah. A two-story place.
Oh, right. So upstairs they had beds for who?
For
who
lived in there? The new incomers in Australia.
The new Australians that came out in
Greek
the early,
most.
In the early 50s when you had the young men come out.
Yes.
And they lived up there.
Yeah.
And she looked after them.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
And what about the young families that came out as new migrants?
Well, them too. I mean, she take them and look for a job for them. Even so, she couldn't speak English. She helped a lot of people. Somehow or other, I don't know how she did it, but she did it. She used to go to auction, buy them property, put her hand up. That's all she knew. And the mount here, the chapel, she knew.
Isn't that wonderful? Did she buy houses and offer accommodation to the new Australians as well?
Yes, she bought Stir Street, she bought at Rose Street, she bought the Brown Street, Café Neon, two-story places and two shops on the side, and leased them out.
Isn't she unbelievable?
Good
woman.
Saver.
Unbelievable.
Good
woman,
saver.
Wasn't she?
And good worker.
And with the new migrants that came out, you said she took them out for jobs, looking for jobs.
Yes.
Did she do a little bit of translating for them as well, even though her English wasn't good?
It wasn't good, but she did it. Yes, she helped them. And to pension or whatever, to the government, to guide them and tell them where to do, where to get the job or whatever.
Now, my family came out in the early 50s too, and as a young girl, Yaya Savona's name, everybody knew Yaya Savona.
They still do.
They still do, exactly, even today. Mm-hmm. And how much she helped the new migrants that came out here.
Yes.
Mothers with the young children used to go to her for any sort of help they needed.
Yeah, like this... the chemist boy. He used to work for Mum. Martha's.
Oh, the Angelos.
Is it two brothers?
The Angelos boys, yes.
Yeah, one of the boys used to work in the Café Neo for Mum and give him pocket money and all that sort of thing.
That's wonderful. So for how long did Mum work in the Café Neo, in your different shops?
She worked till Dad was sick.
And Dad got sick from the
Yes, he started, couldn't get his breath. And she just had to get out and lease the property. And then she gave to us. She passed it over to us.
Mm-hmm. And Dad passed away?
Well, after a year. Yeah, he passed away in his sleep. Mm. Mm.
Could you remember what year Dad passed away, roughly?
Not for Dad, I don't think. I think he was about 68.
Mm-hmm.
When he took sick, she had to get out. So she got out. The houses were all leased. He rented one, a little flat, and stayed there. Dad was always sick. She was running out. And then she bought the house. They were getting another house to live in Stair Street. She still got it.
That's wonderful, yeah. So during this time, other than the shops, did Mum do any other work at all?
No.
No.
And what other work?
Well, I don't know.
She had to look after
else.
Dad.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Now, with you...
Because she had the income.
She had the income, exactly. Yeah. She was very, very astute businesswoman. Well, with you coming down to Adelaide, what work did you and your husband do?
Oh, well, for the first year, we stayed in Huntley Street in a very small, because we didn't have much money to buy a house. So my husband went to Holden's. And in the night, he used to work in the nightclubs in Huntley Street, some Cyprus man. You know, the gambling and making coffee in the night, doesn't come home till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We saved up slowly and we started business. Delicatessen, milk bars, grocery shops. We did like Mum did.
Yeah. Well done.
And work hard. Mm.
And where did you learn your English?
Actually, through the... I learned it myself because when I talk to people and I don't understand, I asked him, what does it mean? Then I put it there. And then the next thing, the same, the next thing. And then when you're in business, you've got to talk it every day. And you've got to ask, what's that? I didn't understand. And gradually you... And I was young, but see, and I picked it up.
You didn't go to school at all?
No, only the 6 months. But how can you learn with not a word? You don't know nothing.
So there wasn't school for adults to learn? You know, didn't the government provide any...
No. Just the ordinary school, public school. In Port Pirie, that is. When I first came, my father wanted me to go to school.
And then the rest of it, because you speak English very well, and you've just learnt it through business and through having to learn
so many years in business, you had to learn it. Mm-hmm. And we really went for business as well, like Mum. We even went as far as Sydney. and had a business there, build them up and sell them in the bed and breakfast places by the beach.
Goodness me, you've been everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So what sort of shop did you have in Sydney?
We had a first one we bought in the property as well, a two-story place, Sunny Hills. It was a grocery shop. And, you know, all the galata and the milks and this and that. Mix business. Then there was no yard for the kids to play. There were three of them, very young. So we sold that one and we bought a milk bar. And that was a lot of work to Eskenville.
So you both worked hard
in
the
shops? No yard there either.
Oh dear.
And I never had anybody there to help me to look at. My father, my husband was, he loved his friends. He loves to have a drink with his relations there. He had a lot of relations there. But I didn't, nobody. And then we sold that, was no yard again. We went and bought a bed and breakfast place in Kuchibai Road, if you know where that is.
No, I don't.
One of the best districts in Sydney. And then...
That would have been a lot of work for you, the bed and breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
You ran it yourself?
Yes, I ran it myself. My husband, he wasn't good at it or whatever. People go to, they sleep there and they go to work, you see, and they want breakfast only. So I used to have to get up early in the morning. The three children go to school, Catholic school, opposite the road. And it was two-story place as well. It was built on the hill and the beach. You can see the beach. So I said to my husband, I can't put up with this life. So I've got to go back to Adelaide. But he listened to me. And we just sold it, and we come to Adelaide.
Come back to Adelaide. And how long were you in Sydney overall?
About 4 years, 4 to 5 years.
Right. When you came back to Adelaide, what did you do?
We started business again.
My husband
bought a grocery shop, and a few vegetables in it, milk bar, in Rye Street.
And you held on to that for a number of years?
Yeah, we held that to that. Yeah. The kids went to Stair Street School, yeah.
And then the children were gradually getting older. Were they able to help you in the shop as well?
Yeah, very little. They still were young. They were still young. But they still help a little bit, yes. Not much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having young babies and business, it doesn't mix. You don't give them the right life they should have. I never used to have any time off or nothing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And how long did you continue on this life of having various businesses?
Well, after Rye Street, we gave it up. We just bought a house and lived in there for a while. My husband went overseas in Cyprus. He wanted to go and see his land or whatever, his town. And then... I stayed with the children because he wanted me to go, but I wouldn't go because of the girls to school, 15-year-old. He said, live with your mother. I said, they kill her by the time I come back. Three of them, they fight one another. And so I said, you go by yourself and it'll be all right. Now, he came back, and then he was a club man too, you see. And then we wanted to get out from the city. We were in Grove Street. By the big church there, if you know, Catholic church there, yeah. In the dead end there. And we bought this one. Mm. We've been here about 60 years maybe or more.
In Karauta Park.
Yeah.
Much quieter than the city then, isn't it?
And more fresh air, maybe. Mm. I mean, yeah.
When your children were growing up, did you send them to Greek school?
Yeah, we did. But one of the teachers smacked the little one. And the boy got up and stand up for him, his brother. And then they didn't go back to school anymore. That was it.
How important was it for you that your children went to Greek school and learned the language?
Very important. But unfortunately, I couldn't do anything about it because I was too tied up. My husband was the other way around. And I was too tied up with the business. And those days was your living. You couldn't do anything else. You had to earn your living. You had the three boys and expenses and all that sort of thing.
Very difficult life. Yeah. Now, do they speak any Greek at all, your children?
Oh, yeah. The three of them talk Greek, yes. Because those days, my Greek wasn't, my English wasn't that ahead. Mm-hmm. Ahead enough. But we rather speak the Greek language so they can learn. Doesn't matter how many languages you know, it's all good for anybody. So, yes, the three of them can speak in Greek.
Going back now, as an 11-year-old, you hadn't seen your father at all.
That was my wish, to meet my father. Mm. We were going to with my last sister. We were very good sisters together, the two last ones, me and her. And she... what was she?
You were very close with your younger sister, the one just older than you, and Dad been away the whole time. You never knew your father.
Yeah, me and her, in the night, we sit up the bed and we pray. That's all we want, just to meet her father. That was our wish.
Because she'd be very young and wouldn't remember him either.
No, she was only about a couple of years.
So you were looking forward to coming to Australia when Mum sent for you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm.
Do you remember how you felt about leaving Cyprus, though?
No, we were happy to leave and come to our fathers. Yeah. Because, as I say, no man in the house and the neighbours were very bad. Mm. And, so you know, they talk about your mother, maybe. She talks to a man or... If they see you talk to a man, you think you sleep with him and all that sort of thing. And it wasn't any good for us girls.
That's a problem. When you came to Australia, what did you think of Australia, not your dad, when you first arrived and saw this foreign country of Australia? Do you remember, what did you think?
Well, we thought it was all right, but it wasn't that fantastic because we live in the house. Nothing different in our city, the school there.
So it wasn't any better?
No, really, except our happiness was because we'd come to our fathers and my mother come to her husband.
Yeah. Because the family was all together,
yes.
You were happy, but as far as Australia's concerned?
Never had much of it. Mm-hmm. But, of course, we came for a better life with our father and mother.
Mm-hmm. Now, the life that you had in Cyprus, I know you were only very young, compared to the life you had here when you came here as a family again, how did it compare? Did you go out entertainment here? Were you freer once you were here in Australia compared to what you were in Cyprus?
Well, we didn't know anything else, did we?
No, exactly.
We didn't know anybody. We had a couple of neighbours that were good, Castellorizzi, from Castellorizzi. They were very friendly. The lady got Mum's the money from this man too. She was very friendly. We found this life more easier.
Mm-hmm. What about as in a Greek community back in the early days? What did you do as a Greek community here? Can you tell us a little bit about the actual Greek community in Adelaide? Because these were early years. There weren't very many Greeks, were there, when you came
Not
out?
Not really. You can count them. You've got to count them at Porphyry anyway.
Yeah.
And here, when we come back to Adelaide.
Mm-hmm. So did you gel together with all of them and you go out? Did you have entertainment?
Not really. I mean, those days you didn't entertain that much because you couldn't afford it, first of all, for newer to Australia. But... our father used to bring the pay and he passed it over to Mum straight away. The envelope was given to Mum. He would keep his pocket money. He was very good that way.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. Have you been back to Cyprus?
Oh, yeah, twice.
The first time you went back, how did you feel when you went back to your village?
I feel like I was... they were all my brothers, my sisters.
The whole village.
As soon as I got in Athens, I thought everybody's in there to begin.
So did you feel somehow you went back home? Hmm? Did you feel that you went back home?
Yes. Yes. I wanted to go to see my school that I was going to in our town. I wanted to go and see our house we're living in. I've seen all my relations in the town. I was young when I left, but I remember every one of them, and that made me happy.
But who lives in your house? Who lived in your house when you left?
My grandma. Yeah. She had two houses, actually. My mother had two houses, and one of them, I think, she was leasing it out or something, and the other one, grandma, used to live in there. But she got her very old. She's sorry she didn't bring mum, but she couldn't do everything.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, she couldn't do everything. And my sister Eleni, she loved my grandma. And she always regretted, why didn't mum bring grandma here?
Mm. How long did you stay the first time?
Where?
You went in Cyprus, when you went back the first time?
6 months one.
Oh, you stayed 6 months?
Yeah, because we went all over the second time.
You went for a big holiday.
Oh, yeah. We went to America, all Europe. We did all Europe, all Greece, the islands, Cyprus the first time and the second time, and England. See, we had relations everywhere we were.
So you went
and that made me happy. Mm. As young as I was, I loved to see my relations.
Mm. When you left Cyprus, the second time when you went for a holiday and you left, even though you went for a holiday, after 6 months, you wanted to come back to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Was that coming back home here again?
Yes, because I had my boys were married then, and I wanted to come back.
Come back home.
Yeah, both times I really didn't want to go. But when I went and seen all my relatives, America, Greece, Cyprus, England, my husband, a lot of relations there. We never paid 1 cent for
expenses.
Expenses.
They paid for everything for you.
Yeah. Because we had so many relations to welcome us.
So you had a wonderful time.
Yes.
Both times.
Yes. Yes. But I was so happy I met them all.
Yes. Yeah.
They were just like I've seen my sisters and my relations.
Mm-hmm.
You still feel like you belong there and that, but you can never live there because you've got your roots back here.
So your heart is in Cyprus?
When?
Now. Still or not?
Not really. I live in Australia now and I like Australia because my family's all here. No, I could never live there.
No, you couldn't live there. Yeah. So you feel that Australia is your country,
yes,
now, it's your home.
Yes,
you've been here for so long.
Yeah, for sure.
You've used to your family, everybody's here, so this is home.
That's right.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
You could never go back there. And I think you found that in a lot of people coming here. They don't want to go back. Maybe 1 or 2 in 100, they will go back and stay for good. But then some of them come back again.
Did Mum ever go back?
No, she didn't. And I'm sorry Mum didn't. She didn't want to somehow or other. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Didn't want to go back and see her mum?
Who?
Your mum. She didn't want to go back just to see her mother?
No, she was too busy working. Too busy working. I can't make something. In other words, leave some of the...
She wanted to look after her children.
Yes.
And can we say that she wanted them to have a better life than what she did in Cyprus?
Yes.
Give them
That's
the opportunities.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Mm. And she all was giving to her children.
Mm. And when did your husband pass away?
1994.
Mm. Yes.
Another couple of months, he would have been 74 years old. He had the sugar, nerves, the heart, had a heart bypass, three arteries. And then he got a cold and got a pneumonia, and that was it. But he wasn't looking after himself. Drink, smoke, sweets, all the other skin. And then, I thought, I'll most have what I want.
Yeah, be happy. Yeah. With your grandchildren now, because you've got a number of grandchildren, do they speak Greek?
No. And I've got a Greek, well, she was only about maybe four, I don't know. When she came to Australia, my daughter-in-law, she came from the same village. In fact, in a third method, George, the young one. But she didn't do the same thing with him at Lexi.
They don't teach them anything.
My husband was very cross about that.
It's very important, isn't it, for this generation?
I better not say too much.
No. This is, it's very important for this generation, for that generation, your generation, and a little bit later, to maintain the language and our culture and our religion. But do you find the younger ones nowadays, it's not important? They don't need their language, Greek language.
Who?
The younger ones now, like your grandchildren.
Doesn't matter what you've got, you need it. Say, for instance, if they go to Athens or Cyprus, how are they going to keep two relations?
Yeah, for family.
For family. It's hard. Most of them, they know English now, but it might be a nice auntie, old auntie, they would like to talk to her. Talk to the boys or something like that.
To communicate, you think that they should have lent a little bit of Greek.
Absolutely. I could understand she's an Australian, the second, and they can't really.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter because here in Australia we all speak English, but I think deep down we'd like to keep a little bit of our roots.
Exactly.
But
I don't know how my daughter-in-law didn't teach them. A few words to carry on in the tradition or whatever, I don't know.
Carry on our language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much for today, Christina. That's been wonderful.
Is that all?
Is there anything else that you want to add? Is there anything else that you would like to say that we haven't covered?
I don't know. Well, there's much more, I suppose.
What more do you want to say?
Well, we work very hard to get on. Even so, we got things from Mum. But you've got to be happy what you saved or what you work for. What can I say?
Look, happiness and health are the most important.
Most important.
Yes.
That's all that matters, really.
It is.
When you come to think of it, the life goes so quickly. What's the use of? All right, you give something to your children, or you leave something to your children, but sometimes it's not worth it. Because the easy money goes easy. If they're not good enough for themselves to make something, it does help a lot. It does help a lot. Mum always used to help a lot. But it does, it makes you happy to leave something for your children. That's me anyway.
You feel happy if they are happy.
That's right. That's right. And you like to give as more all you can. You like to give them to make their life. You don't know if it's going to make their life different, because everybody lives differently now, especially the young ones. Although our age boys, they went through a bit of a hard life with me in the shops. You know, not enough time for them. You know what I mean? And I do regret that. But what can you do?
Look, the circumstances were such that you had no choice.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I think they understand that.
Oh, absolutely. My boys do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, my boys do. They understand how hard it was. We try, I try, and... And that's so. But the thing is, you like to give them as much as you can to make their life easier. Yeah. Is that all you're going to put in?
Whatever, if there's anything else, if there isn't anything else, we'll just finish here. And I'd like to thank you very much again
for giving us all that. Come back for more, I don't know.
Entirely up to you. If you have any more to say, we can continue.